Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hey friends, I am your guest host, Dano E. Cabeza, this afternoon, evening, whatever you want to call it. And thank God Almighty that the correct intro played. We are without Jordan and we're without Rob. And without Rob, who does behind the scenes all of the technical shit for As for Football for the most part, I sometimes feel a little lost. So we're going to do the best that we can. I got Omar on here. We're going to absolutely muddle through as best we can. You know, hey, let's hope it doesn't get off to too rough of a start. Omar, how you doing, man? Give me some good news.
I'm doing good. I'm glad that I could answer the call like Kevin Dunn in the 2007 Army Tulane game. You know, just might not throw a Hail Mary this one, but I'm just glad that I was able to be part of the show. Doing good, mostly, honestly. I didn't realize how much I missed Army football in the bye week until I just had some time to sit down and think about it. I'm like, man, Army plays this week. I had to go back to my noon routine or 11 a.m. Central Time routine. Like, so I'm excited.
Awesome, man. That is awesome. I'm excited too. Got a big tailgate scheduled. I'm actually gonna, my buddy got a Airbnb up near West Point somewhere. So I'm going to crash with them after the game. And yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool opportunity. Can't wait to see my friends. Honestly, the best thing about Army football is frequently not the football. If you go live, it's the opportunity to see your classmates and hang out with people and just kind of imbibe the atmosphere. And I will stand by that. Even when Army was 12-2 and winning the American Conference last year, I'm telling you the best thing was before the tailgate, pulling up to Jim Zappelis' big ass trailer thing that he has there right in A-Lot with all these old grads and just, you know, shooting tequila and watching them all hit on my wife, which was hilarious. But
okay.
Anyway, yeah, it was funny. Anyway, all right. So, friends, we have a sponsor here at Ask for Football. That is Jocelyn Bradley. She is a realtor. She is based in and around Fort Bragg, but she is capable of getting you into the right house, no matter where you live. We'll talk about that. So, she is a veteran. She spent her career in Army Logistics. She's a West Point grad. I don't remember what class year she is. Rob did not put that down in our notes. She discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives while she was in uniform, and she is committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and to providing exceptional customer service when she's working for you. She'll also sell your home, being a realtor. Jocelyn has an extensive network of experienced realtors who can support you if you're not relocating to Fort Bragg, which obviously not everyone gets to go to Fort Bragg. If you're an Armor Branch, you're probably not going there, as I was. So if you're in the market for a new home because you're going somewhere that's not Fort Bragg, you should still look Jocelyn up and let her hook you up with a realtor you can trust. As the real estate market is really scary. You know, you have buying basically the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy. And, you know, you don't want to get your face ripped off. You know, work with somebody that you can trust, somebody who is going to take your interest at heart. So, you know, that's it. Her link is on the website. Just go to askforfootball.com, click on the little business card, and you'll be talking to Jocelyn in a couple of hours. So that's it. All right. So we have just a little bit of Army/American football news. Omar, you want to tell us what Coach Monken said this week on his show?
Oh, yeah. So Coach Monken said that Cale Helms will make his second start this week, second career start. And so, you know, this corroborates with the practice reports that we've gotten from Lynn. I mean, honestly, I think it's the right move. I know there's a question that's outlined. I don't know if you're supposed to ask it or if I'm supposed to answer right away.
You're good. Like I said, we got the B team here, right?
Yeah, we got the B team. We got Rich Waltz and Ross Tucker here. So, but I think it's the right move. But I honestly feel for Dwayne Coleman, though, because, man, he's been in the program for so long. And I know these are team-first guys, right? But
yeah,
I kind of like to see the first-year quarterback, you know, just – you know, who's been waiting, taking his lumps and just, you know, continue to start. But I mean, you got to ride the hot hand, like, honestly. Absolutely. So I definitely agree with it. You got to ride the hot hand.
I definitely agree and feel for Dwayne Coleman. I mean, he looks like the guy who's going to be the perennial firsty backup quarterback. It played 10 quarters or something last year, you know, looked good. Yeah. And then, you know, came out in that first game and it didn't go his way, for better or worse. And then your backup comes in because you're a little nicked up and beats Kansas State. I mean, that's just kind of how life is, right? Yeah. But yeah, Cale Helms looked pretty good. And I'll be quite surprised if he doesn't hold that starter's job for the rest of the year. And for what it's worth, I think this current version of Army's offense just works a little better with a heavier bodied guy in there. You know, although I will say Coleman's thing is that he's supposed to be a better passer. And then Helms turns around and goes 7 of 11 passing against Kansas State. And really, if you looked when they started calling those RPOs, either the draw RPOs or those rollout RPOs, that really changed the game because he had enough of them that it forced Kansas State to start thinking about some of that stuff differently. So, yeah, man, I thought that was a little wild. And then the other news I wanted to get into, because we're just kind of killing time in the top half of the show before we do the North Texas roundup, is rankings talk. As I was putting together this thing, because the line on this game, so what sort of forced me to think about this is the line on North Texas at Army started at Army -2.5, Army giving almost a field goal, and now Army is getting almost a field goal at home, and I just thought that was insane. So I started, it's a 5-point move, which is a giant move in betting, right? And so I started looking and wondering, you know, like, what's going on here? And so I pulled the Massey rankings and the SP Plus rankings, and, you know, bottom line, the top of the American Conference remains pretty tight in these rankings. You know, there's like 2 to 3 teams higher up in both of those rankings and not the same 2 to 3 teams. And then there's like a giant logjam right in the middle at what we would think of as the average for college football, including both the Power Four and the Group of Five. Interestingly, Army got helped a lot by beating Kansas State, but they didn't get hurt too badly by losing to Tarleton State. And I think the reason for that is, first off, it's the beginning of the season, but also, if they were to put Tarleton State in these rankings right now, I'm pretty sure Tarleton State would come somewhere right after whatever the middle is, either after East Carolina or UT San Antonio, whoever you think is the middlest in the conference. Anyway, Massey has Tulane right now at the top at number 32, followed by Memphis, South Florida, Navy, North Texas, Army, East Carolina, and UT San Antonio. SP Plus has Memphis at the top at almost plus 12 points, 12 points better than any other team, you know, 12 points better than the average team. The Navy at 49th at plus 8, Tulane at plus 7, Kansas State, just by way of comparison, at plus 6.6. So that's down about 10 for them. North Texas at 66th, UTSA at 67th, Army at 68th, ECU at 69th, USF at 71st. Those are all within a point of zero, which is the statistical average. So here's my question to you, Omar, having just read a bunch of numbers. Does any of that mean anything?
Yeah, so for me, I always enjoy these rankings because of the hypothetical scenarios that they put in place. But if I were to choose one over the other, I think I'd have to choose SP Plus, just because Bill Connolly puts every single team at all three levels, or Division 1, 2, and 3, in the rankings. But you can really tell, I think that there is some factoring in of conference strength in the S&P Plus at all levels. Like, looking at the USF one, I kind of chuckled a bit looking at USF being at 71 despite beating two power conference teams. But then I remembered that one of USF's wins came against Florida, who played Long Island, who I think only has 45 scholarship players, being in the Northeast Conference. So I tend to think that the S&P Plus is more, I guess, foolproof, for lack of a better term. But I don't really take these rankings into account, because the national media, the playoff committee, doesn't take these rankings into account. They look at the eye test. And for right now, if Army wants the playoff, which I'm sure is what their sights are set on, after beating Navy, of course, you know, they want to make the eye test. And for now, like, Tulane, you know, has that eye test in beating two power conference teams. Much less so Memphis. Memphis is more writing off name brand. But I think if you're an Army fan looking at these rankings, like, there really isn't that much to draw from. I mean, honestly, like, it's just cool and all to kind of have an idea of, like, who's who in the league, but I wouldn't put too much stock in it.
Yeah, that's interesting. The thing that I find interesting is, you know, you can use these these numbers to set lines, right? I mean, that is really the correct way to use them. That's, you know, Memphis at plus 12 versus Army at plus 0.9 means basically on a neutral field, Memphis would be a 10-point favorite, which, you know, for better or worse, that's a betting line, right? We can argue about whether or not it's right, but it's understandable. So on a neutral field, UTSA versus Army is a push. Like, it's not even a full half point. It's those teams are pretty equal. And that's true in the Massey rankings too. I mean, it's just absolutely a push. So for the line to move 5 points, I thought was pretty wacky. We'll talk about that a little more, but I thought about it enough about this that I wrote damn near three paragraphs in our weekly box this week. I get into the numbers. I don't know what to tell you. So for what it's worth, Massey still thinks Army can go 9-3 this season, which would be amazing considering where we were after week one.
Yeah.
If they turn around and finish 9-3, that would be wild. All right, so let's do something just a little different, but I'm going to follow up. But, of course, I get to play my sounder, and that is what I really wanted to do, assuming I can find the damn thing. All right, that is the award sounder. Omar, you are up.
Okay.
So my question is, you cover the American Conference for basketball. Which team had the best game this weekend?
So of course, easy answer is Tulane, right? That's easy to say. So I'm going to resist that urge and go with East Carolina because they were really dominant against Coastal Carolina. I think that's probably the most complete performance they've had so far early in this season, of course.
Absolutely.
And I should say that, I mean, yeah, like North Texas is an obvious choice, but I mean, 38-0 against a Coastal Carolina team that looks like they've kind of decline from their peak from when Jamie Chadwell was there, but I mean, there's still that credibility that they have. I mean, just really impressed with the complete performance that East Carolina had. Like, you know that there's going to be great quarterback play, which Hauser played great, but that defense was something else against kind of a unorthodox scheme that they have out there with Tim Beck out at Coastal Carolina. So, and on the road too. A road win over at the Surf Turf is impressive, and in the fashion that they did, I have to say that East Carolina is probably my most impressive team if I were to make a trendy pick aside from the obvious ones.
I like that. I am going to go with Memphis. I know you've been bagging on him, but they beat the living snot out of Troy. And the final score was 28-7, but I don't know if they sat their starters at some point. Every time I looked up, Troy was doing absolutely nothing, and Memphis was just doing laps on the field. It's probably fair to say they haven't played anybody. I mean, they played Georgia State, but they beat the snot out of them, and they played Troy, which I would have said was going to be a decent team in the Sun Belt, and they beat the ever-living snot out of them too. Well, we'll get a better sense of who Memphis is when they host Arkansas. What is up with these American teams hosting freaking like old school SEC, ACC teams? That's wild, man.
I got a deep cut about that one. The last time that rivalry was played, the game was aired on FX, you know, the channel that airs all the whatever movies or Family Guy reruns. Like, it was on the FX, so now it's on ABC.
Amazing. Amazing. What, I mean, I just, yeah, Oklahoma coming to Temple, and then Arkansas coming to Memphis. That's, I mean, what a crazy season. Duke coming to Tulane, I guess, is not as weird, but it's still not what you would have drawn up. Anyway, all right, so we'll do one more commercial, and then we will get into this North Texas preview. So, friends, if you've watched this show before, you know that Craig Oxane, West Point class of 1994, he is the area sales manager for the Money Store, and he sponsors Us for Football. He is a mortgage broker. He's licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates and give you the best deal that he possibly can. And I don't know if you know this, but getting a mortgage is freaking super confusing. Omar, have you bought a house yet?
No, not yet.
Dude, it is the most terrifying process because you got you and your wife and your soon-to-be kid, and you're betting essentially your life savings on this place that you've only seen a handful of times. And you're taking out a loan that's like, you know, let's say 3 to 4 times your annual salary. Like, great. I'm telling you, when you're going through that process, you sign 2 inches of paperwork. So as you're doing that, would you like to work with somebody that you felt like was not trying to rip your face off? Does that seem like it would be a good idea?
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, dude, it's terrifying. So to work with somebody who is a person that you could call, who's like an actual dude, who's not just trying to make a buck off you, I'm telling you, Craig is the guy. And this is how the West Point Network functions. Like, Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ezra Football, and we're trying to introduce you to the guy you need to meet if you're trying to get a mortgage. Is like we said, it's really scary, especially if you've never done it before. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. It's a huge savings, like $1,300. Like, get that money, friends. $1,300, save that money. So, Craig Oxane, he is the area sales manager for the Money Store. His link is also on our website. He and Jocelyn both have these little business cards. You just click on there. In Craig's case, you're going to fill out a little questionnaire. Like, it couldn't be easier. I'm telling you, you get 5-star service. And yeah, do yourself a favor and work with Craig next time you're moving. So, with that said, I'm missing Jordan at this point to do some of this lifting, but Jordan and Rob are both on business conferences. I saw a picture of Jordan on Instagram today. You know, he had a little name tag standing around and people were like talking to him. I know he's been pretty successful in his career, which is good. Like, we're happy for Jordan. And Rob is in Hawaii. He's been on the range all day. So, you know, the Astro football team is just living the life today. Anyway, the North Texas Mean Green come to Mikey Stadium 3-0. So far, they beat FCS Lamar 51-0 in week one. And then they came from behind to beat Western Michigan 33-30 at Western Michigan in week two. And then they absolutely throttled Washington State this past weekend, week three, 59-10. That's another one where every time you turn around, they're just running laps. I mean, it was wild. Omar, tell us a little bit about that North Texas offense.
Yeah, so, I mean, we all know North Texas offense is scary. It's been scary ever since Eric Morris took over in 2023. And that's the case this year. It's scary. It's looked scary so far this year. And I'd say this offense kind of shapes out more like the 2023 team. Talk about that a little bit later. But they are pass happy, but they do have a very solid run game. Namely, Mackenzie McGill has almost 6 yards of carry so far this year. He hasn't had much usage, but, I mean, he's efficient because North Texas will spread you out and throw the ball, as always. This year, Drew Mestermaker is a quarterback for them. This year, he has a 70% completion percentage, 9 touchdowns with just 4 sacks and not an interception.
That's wild. What a stat line, dude.
It's insane, yeah. Like, double the touchdowns and sacks. But, I mean, you might think he's not much of a runner this year, but I don't know if people remember, he had a very long touchdown run in the First Responder Bowl last year, and he has that element that Chandler Morris doesn't have. So this offense could be scarier this year than it was last year. And then going on the point of the running game, Mackenzie McGill, 31 carries for 170 yards. So not much usage in 3 games, but that's kind of how North Texas does. They do a running back by committee. I mean, McGill's efficient because, like you said, like, you can spread them out and they will, you know, they'll be able to run the ball. Like last year, McGill and Shane Porter, the second running back or the running back in committee that they had, they both averaged over 6 yards a carry. So, and of course they have good wide receivers. There's not really a defined wide receiver route in one. They have 5 different wideouts with 5 catches. The tight end also gets a lot of play in this offense. Something you don't really see with a lot of air raid schemes, but I mean, in the notes that you put down so graciously, Dano, they have 18 touchdowns in 3 games. So that's 6 touchdowns a game, which is pretty insane.
That is a wild statistic. I mean, that is just insane. So, yeah, the offense is good. And what's worse is that they can do anything they need to do in order to win in a given week. I thought they ran the ball really well in that Washington State game.
Yeah.
I thought the running game was the key to that game on both sides of the ball. Defense, to the extent that North Texas has had any issues this year, has been their issue. Most of these ranking services, which whether we should take them with a grain of salt or not, remains kind of an open question. But most of the ranking services, if they have an issue with North Texas, it's because of the defense. Overall, though, they have the 42nd ranked rushing defense in the country, allowing 203 yards per game on less than 3 yards per carry. That can't be right. That's got to be a statistic. They've allowed just 2 rushing touchdowns. Those stats are crazy skewed, though, by FCS game against Lamar and by Washington State, who, let's be honest, has been god-awful running the football all year. You know, Washington State came into that game averaging like 100 yards per game, and then they got absolutely demolished. So against Western Michigan, though, North Texas gave up 216 rushing yards and 3.8 yards per carry. They let Western Michigan go 9 of 18 on third down. Western Michigan converted their only fourth down attempt, and they held the ball for 37 minutes. So it's a super talented North Texas defense. Like, I'm not trying to say that they aren't, but at least on paper, with the one kind of comparable that we have, they don't necessarily match up well to a team playing Army style. Linebackers Shane Witter, Trey Fields, and Ethan Wislowski lead the team in tackles by a mile. So you've got the three linebackers, each of whom have like 12 to 16 tackles, and then lower down safeties and DNs and, you know, those guys who have some. Team also has seven sacks, which is a lot in three games, led by defensive end Kevion Huddleston. Hope I didn't massacre his name there. He's got 2.5. And probably the scariest thing is that this is a ball-hawking defense. They've recovered 3 fumbles and picked off 4 passes, which is a freaking lot in just 3 games. Of course, that's helped by the fact that Washington State came in there and threw 3 interceptions and fumbled twice. So still, you know, they're tied for 2nd in turnover margin in the FBS at +6. That is getting it done. So, Omar, special teams?
Yeah, so for special teams, not really much to report here. Like, Callie Ngumba is perfect this season from extra points and field goals. 17 for 17 on extra points, 4 for 4 on field goals, all from below 30 yards. So that could be an interesting storyline. Not sure if the wind's going to be blowing from the Hudson this Saturday, but if it does, you know, Ngumba will be tested out there if he has to kick a long one. Sawyer Evans is kind of, I guess, inconsistent might be the wrong word because, you know, they haven't really punted all that much. 0-7 punts, but averaged just 38 punts against Western Michigan. I don't really know about putting punts inside the 20 in terms
that's
of...
That's a big stat, man. If you're,
it's a big stat, but there's context. I'd have to look at the drive chart and then determine,
all right,
you know.
All right.
So that's why. For what we're doing right now, like, I can pull out the drive chart if you want me
to. No.
But,
all right.
But yeah, so I mean, yeah, no punts inside the 22. I mean, if we want to do an in-depth punt analysis, I can talk to Dano and just, you know, publish one outside of this as an addendum.
That's an off-season project, but yeah, James would love that one.
Oh yeah, I love my punts too, especially quarterback punts. But with that being said, against Washington State, he was impressive in a small sample size, 48 yards per kick. Of course, Texas doesn't have high altitude, especially North Texas. And I mean, you put in the notes, like, probably a good time to pressure the punter. I mean, when isn't a good time to rush punts, especially when you're the Army Black Knights who have had one punt return touchdown for the past 18 years. So not much to report on special teams. In the return game, though, I mean, they don't really return kicks all that well. Their kick returner average is just 19 kicks per game. I'm not sure how many touchbacks our specialist has, but maybe that could be a factor just starting North Texas with longer fields, but just had to add that in.
Interesting. Very good. So I'm glad you asked about the weather. We are expecting gorgeous weather on Saturday. Sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Not much wind at all. Thank you very much. Should be an absolutely outstanding day for football. So here's where we talk about the betting line, right? Army opened as a 2.5-point favorite. You can now find the Black Knights getting 2.5 points. That's a 5-point swing. That's a pretty good bet, I think, for a team playing at home. I'm talking about Army coming off a bye, getting 2.5 points where they, you know, until recently had a 10-game winning streak. Over-under sits at 52.5. Again, I might take the under. Actually, spoiler, in my games and locks, I took Army and the points, and I took the under. Those were two of my three bets this week. So I really think that line is insane. Thoughts on the game?
Yeah, so what really fascinates me, honestly, the Western Michigan game fascinates me for North Texas because I look at this and Western Michigan really didn't have the most impressive day running the ball, but they wore North Texas down little by little. And so that might just play perfectly into Army. If we can literally get 3 yards in a cloud of dust, which Cale Helms' game against Kansas State was the epitome of 3 yards in a cloud of dust, like, that might be what we need. Like, you can't score if you don't have the ball in North Texas. So I'm kind of excited to see how that plays out. Like, will we have, you know, and especially too, now that we're doing more so of a fullback by committee type thing.
Yeah.
Where we're getting every type of fullback. We're getting Jake Rendina running down your throat. You know, Carson Smith running down your throat. A little bit of finesse with Briggs Bartosz and Hayden Reed. Like, you're getting every flavor of fullback. So I'm excited to see how that plays out, honestly. I would also like to see less shotgun, though, honestly. I feel like less shotgun might be more ideal in this one, just given North Texas's explosiveness.
Interesting. Definitely the fact that they are a sacking team makes that shotgun thing kind of interesting. I mean, the one thing about playing out of the shotgun is it gives you the opportunity to, as we said, roll Helms out for an RPO on the edge, which is a thing that I would like to see them do five times a game, every game for the rest of my life. They used to run that with Kelvin Hopkins, and obviously he killed with it, and I think Helms could kill with it too. So, but my thoughts on the game is, and this comes back to this betting line, is North Texas is getting a hell of a lot of credit for beating up on a Washington State team that, let's be honest, executed their offense like absolute garbage. I mean, they looked awful. That team couldn't run a lick. That's not unique to the North Texas game. They cannot run a lick. They are terrible at running the football, and they turned it over five times. I mean, did North Texas capitalize? Yes, they absolutely did. They have a good offense, not arguing that. But folks seem to think that anyone can beat Kansas State, and so Army's win doesn't mean anything. But North Texas beating Washington State, oh my God. They beat Washington State? Oh my God. Washington State is in the pack too. And guys, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think this is going to be a close game. I mean, the metrics suggest that these teams are pretty evenly matched. I don't know who's going to win, but for the line to swing 5 points, I just think that's crazy. So, especially considering that the Black Knights play better at home, and UNT, for what it's worth, plays worse on the road. So, yeah, man. All right, let's revisit a little
fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
You like that?
I'm good.
I love my sack. I spent so much time putting those together. You have no idea. Because you can do it in Podcastle. Anyway, yeah, they've got this whole AI thing. I'm telling you, I made that. Forget it. That's another conversation. But I love my sounders. If you knew how much time I put into them, you'd love them too. So we're going to revisit fact or fiction from 2 weeks ago. These before the K-State game, I said that Army averages 3.5 yards per carry. That was fiction. They finished at 3.4. Like 3.44. James says Army wins the turnover battle. That was fact. Black Knights had a pick, and they also recovered that squib kick off the up man, which probably should count as a turnover. And Rob said that the defense gets an interception that week, which is correct. Colin Madison got one, and it was amazing. And Anthony Scott said Army gets 2 sacks plus five tackles for loss. Excuse me. No sacks, 2 tackles for loss. Thought that was still a pretty good game. So, Firsty Club, here is your warning order to give us some fact or fictions right now. So, Omar, what is your fact or fiction this week?
I think my fact or fiction is going over the scouting report for North Texas is Army intercepts Drew Mestemaker for the first time this year. Fact or fiction? I know I didn't write that down. I know.
we actually keep score because we're competitive here.
So
that's all right.
Yeah,
you don't have to spell it, but yeah. You know what? I'm going to say fact. You know why? Because they had a really UNT had a really great quarterback last year, and Army did an outstanding job turning him over in the red zone. And we're actually going to get into this later, but I really think Army scheme makes it difficult for these quarterbacks to make some of these plays. The danger that I see in this game is that North Texas runs the ball really well, and they use that to set up their offense.
Yeah.
If Army can shut down that running game, then I think getting that interception is a pretty good one. My fact or fiction this week is Army rushes for 350 yards. Oh, you didn't tell me if you were taking fact or fiction. Oh, sorry.
Shoot. I mean, I kind of put myself in the corner because interceptions are so hard to predict, but I'm gonna go fiction, to be honest with you.
Good God.
It's just tough because I don't know. I think we'll have a good game defending North Texas's scheme, honestly. Okay. But will that lead to interceptions? Like, I tend to think that Mestemaker is, you know, a good decision maker. Did not mean to do that. So, like, I don't know. It's hard to predict. But I mean, I will say, like, we got called for a good amount of like pass interferences against Tarleton, if I remember correctly. Honestly, maybe it's just one that is just replaying in my head over and over again. So, I kind of think our secondary just needs a little bit more of a, you know. But then again, never mind. I'm forgetting Colin Madison intercepted in the past. So let me change that fact. Let me go fact.
Oh my goodness! All right. Well, you talked yourself into it, which I guess
talked myself into it.
All right. Well, we have only got a couple of people in the Firsty Club, and neither of them gave us a fact or fiction. So that's we're gonna. You guys are killing me. All right. So now it's time for the mailbag. If I can find that. There it is.
You've got mail.
All right. So fact or fiction. That is a creepy sounder. James says that thing's creepy.
I don't know. It's more, is it AI?
It is AI. Yeah, that's an AI British person's voice.
It's creepy. I'm sorry.
It's Podcastle AI. They have like a whole laundry list of AIs that you can choose from.
There's no piss tints. That's a good thing.
So we solicited questions this week on the Firstie Club and in social media. We'll start with Matt Scriveners because he was bitching at me because we skipped him last week. And he asks, how important is this game? We come off a big win against a struggling big name after an embarrassing loss to a rising star. Do we panic if we don't get this one right? Okay. So let me kick it over to you, Omar. What do you think?
I don't think we should panic because honestly, I think I saw a tweet about how we expected to be 1-1, but how we got there was unexpected. Like North Texas was in my mind as a swing game, or if not one, a game in conference that Army could kind of give, like not give away, but lose and still make a bowl game. So I don't think it's time to panic. I think it just depends on how we look while we lose. Like if it turns into a shootout with North Texas, or if the offense keeps up with North Texas, then I think that's a great sign. But I mean, but if the defense shows some supreme liabilities, then, I mean, I think it might be time for concern with the defense, especially playing against Tulane with Jake Retzlaff, who I guess, shameless plug, you know, I do think he's a Heisman dark horse at this point. This man has rushed for a million touchdowns in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think
it might well.
Yeah, it just depends how we look, honestly. But, I mean, if we could give this game away and still make a bowl game.
So just to back up a little bit, since we were talking about the American Conference a little earlier, I got to say Tulane is a team that I thought, you know, we thought that they would be good, but we also kind of, it was a mess last year. Like they had all the talent in the world, but they were one of the streakiest teams in the FBS. This year, they just look like straight killers. Yeah. Like that's a different story this year. That team looks way, way more focused. I don't know if they have more talent, but they look way more focused. And beating the crap out of Duke with your old quarterback, with your new quarterback, that's like, yeah, buddy. I hesitate to say panic, but the thing that would concern me if they drop this game is bowl eligibility, because you already dropped one that you were counting on in Tarleton State, and you got one that you weren't necessarily counting on in K-State, so that's kind of a push, but as we talked about before the season started, man, you don't want to have to go to Air Force and beat the freaking Zoomies just to make a bowl game. Like, do I think Army can beat the Zoomies? Yes. I think Army has a better team than the Zoomies. They're about a touchdown better according to all the ranking services. And anyway, screw those guys. They just lost to Utah State. But having to go play at their house to make a bowl game is not a place you want to be. And if they drop this game, that's a place that they very well might find themselves. So, like you said, let's see how they look, right? I was most encouraged by how the offensive line came together over the course of the Kansas State game. And if they continue to build on that, I won't be concerned very much. But then again, if they continue to build on last week's performance on the O-line, I don't think they're going to lose this game. So what are you going to do? Omar, you want to pick one?
Yeah. So let's see. Let's go with Ray Kimball, since he is watching. Let's go. I was pretty impressed with UNT's defense this week in Americans. Or actually, never mind. I mean, I know he's watching, but we kind of already answered that. So I mean, reading that's kind of repetitive. So okay, let's go with, will we see a shift in the coverage plan? I'm not much of an X's and O's guy, but I like this question from Anthony John. Historically, we use a soft zone, giving up 10 to 12 yards of pass. And Anthony thinks that's not going to fly. So, do you think we'll see a shift this week or at some point in the season?
No. Sorry, okay. Anthony. I saw this question. I was really happy that he asked it, because it's one of the most common things that comes up as far as like, being the Astro football guy and being out there on tailgates is, oh, I hate the way they play that soft zone. And they're always giving up those, quick passes, you know, those quick outs. But if you can stop the run and you cannot get beat deep, then you're willing to take the 30% to 35% chance on every play that the quarterback's just going to miss on a 12 to 10 to 12 yard out. And in fact, if he throws three passes, even if he throws two passes, you know, you're actually up to a likelihood that one of those is going to miss and you might get off the field and force a punt just on sheer statistics of college quarterback inaccuracy. So the things that will change the game are giving up a shitload of rushing yards so that you got to bring everybody down in the box, or getting beat over the top for a big play. Those are the things that will change the game. Giving up 7-10 yard outs is not going to change the game. That's, your defense is actually built for that. I know it drives fans crazy. You know, if when a team is in 3rd and 7 and they turn around and give up a 8-yard out for a first down, like, it drives you crazy. But you look at the range of what they're trying to do. Once the field compresses and they get in the red zone, they play much tighter. And that's because they're not worried about getting beat deep over the top, which is also when they tend to pick up all of those interceptions. That's exactly how they beat this team last year. Exactly. And yeah, no, you're going to see the same thing again. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree thinking about it too, because like you said, I mean, of course, we don't want to give up deep plays, but if we're giving up, you know, 7-8 yards of pop on the run, the first thought of mine comes how demoralizing that is. Like, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's getting your ass kicked.
I think of Georgia State 2022, an exact game came to mind where it's like, we're supposed to be the ones shortening the game, driving it down your throat. So it's demoralizing. But I do think it is kind of frustrating. It's like, it's like you want us to be stiff, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
But like, the bend but don't break plays into what we want to do as a scheme.
It does.
I just think the trouble is a team that can, I guess, force us to flex out resources from the inside, you know?
Yeah.
Defend the edge.
Yes.
That could be trouble. Like, and that's where I'm concerned with North Texas, where it's like North Texas is incredibly efficient on the run. And of course, like, you know, that's how the air raid is. The air raid will air you out, you know, short before you know it, you know, they're down the field. So
like I said, the thing that really concerns me in this game, just with the way it matches up, is that North Texas' running game is not the thing that people talk about, but it's very good. Like, it's very good. That's just the reality. I don't care that people aren't talking about it. It's still very good. And if you look at how Army beat Kansas State, they beat them by giving up shit tons of those 10 to 12 yards outs, which, by the way, they missed tons of them, and not getting beat deep. I mean, they got beat deep once on just that immaculate throw on fourth down. But I mean, the DB was right there. He had his hands in the pocket trying to knock the ball out, and he just couldn't do it. You know, that was great coverage. It just happened that scored. But, you know, Kansas State scored a touchdown and two field goals, and the loss of those two touchdowns, the 6 points instead of 14, is why Army was able to come back and win that game, like, bottom line. And the exact same thing is what is going to make Army win or lose this week. So, sorry. I really am sorry, but I know it's going to drive people crazy, but no, that soft zone cover is not going nowhere. Okay, via Instagram, Helms was named the starter, and then the line moved from Army -2.5 to Army -2. How does that make sense? Like I said, that doesn't make any sense. I don't think that these people are paying attention. I think that they saw that Army lost to an FCS team and that they don't think Kansas State is any good, and they just are selling the Black Knights right now. Thoughts?
I guess I'm more lenient/forgiving because I think that Helms' style of play, or how the offense played, lends itself to less point scoring. That's really the only thing I see it as.
Okay. Honestly, like, yeah, he doesn't have quite the speed of Dwayne Coleman. Like, we saw Dwayne Coleman have some burst in that Tarleton State game. So just to circle back around, we did get a fact or fiction for Brian Brennan. He says, fact or fiction, the defense scores.
Oh, man, I'm about to flip a coin. I'm going to say fiction. Honestly, I don't think we get a defensive touchdown.
I mean, again, if they get a defensive touchdown, you got like an 85% chance of winning that game.
Yeah.
You almost never lose a game when your defense scores. It would be awesome, but I just don't think you can bet that way. So, unfortunately, sorry, Brian. But yeah, that's a fiction agreement, which is very rare on this show.
I mean,
all right. That is all we got today. Coming in a little short today, but that's fine. My favorite thing this week, before I say that, Omar, you got a favorite thing?
I mean, I always like hearing about Army's future schedules. We got another future opponent on the
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Eastern Michigan. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't really like trash talk, but I guess it's funny to call Eastern Michigan our little brother, because we do have the series at 8-1. Looking forward to it being 9-1, but I was a plebe for the flip of destiny. I'm gonna push the nickname for that play, Tenacious D, flip of destiny, on the 1 yard on the 2-point conversion. So I guess that was my favorite thing, just getting another opponent on the schedule.
Absolutely. And of course, if you didn't see it, Omar wrote a piece about that this weekend, and we dropped it into the quick take slot because obviously no quick takes. We do have one errata though, from Facebook. Gibby Gibson made that tackle. I don't know if you saw that. Not, I forget who you put down, but it was
James Boyd.
Yeah, it was James Gibson.
Okay.
So anyway, and I haven't made the correction, so it's still up there wrong as anything. yeah, well, professional organization, am I right? So if you're wondering, Saratoga was awesome. Thank you for asking. Like I said, I can't wait to see my buddies this weekend. I plan to enjoy it. I hope you guys do too. That's all we got. Go Army, beat North Texas.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!